The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers followed by our information break and then our main speaker who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Kristen P.
Hi, I'm Kristen. I'm an alcoholic. The first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting that I ever went to was this Tuesday night meeting about 9 years ago. So it's a special room for me, and obviously nervous with all these faces, but I'm really happy to be here. I hope that I have something to say that a new person can hear and will help them. I started drinking when I was 14. I loved it immediately because I was always very shy and nervous. Had that sort of feeling like I was different from everybody, and everyone else seemed to operate easier in the world than I did. Even from a young age, I always felt that way. So when I started drinking, it was a miracle because all of these feelings just kind of drained away from me, and I felt like I could fit in easier. I felt like I was more like everyone else, and that's what I really, really wanted. And I loved it so much that I started drinking a lot right away. I could always drink more than all of my friends. I started binge drinking right away. I didn't really do any kind of normal drinking. Even today, I'm not really sure what that is. And I started developing that sort of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde kind of like two faces to my life thing, where how I felt inside and how I felt about drinking and what I did with drinking, and then how my life looked on the outside. And for a while, I was able to keep it together. I always got straight A's. I did very well in school. I was an athlete, blah, blah, blah. So for a while, I felt like I could say to anyone, you know, I'm doing well because at least it looks good on the outside. And I was always very concerned what other people thought about me. Like, what does my life look like? Was always just trying to be just normal, I guess. And I just always felt different. And eventually it got to be too much where the alcohol was creeping over and starting to take away pieces from my regular life. And I remember I was talking to a friend of mine. I was still only a teenager, and I was saying, yeah, you know, I love drinking and it's really, really fun, but if it ever started to affect other areas of my life, then I would definitely stop, because I didn't know that I wouldn't be able to stop. I didn't even think that that was something that would ever happen to me. I always kind of felt like I was in control of everything too. Drinking became sort of a really big part of my self-image. Like, I'm Kristen, I like to drink a lot, I party a lot, you know. I'm fun Kristen. Everyone thinks I'm more fun and funny when I'm drunk. So then I wanted to do it even more. And, you know, I naturally gravitated toward friends that also drank like I did. I really didn't trust people who didn't drink. I thought there was something wrong with them. I felt sorry for them and felt like they had some sort of like internal struggle. And, you know, that was their thing. But like, I was, you know, relaxed and I could hang out and I was enjoying life. I remember I was talking to a friend of mine and I was saying, I was like 17, and I was saying, you know, I really don't understand why everyone who's over 21 doesn't just spend all day, every day in the bar. Like, don't they know that like they're allowed to go there and just stay as long as they want? Like, why do they do anything else? And I just couldn't wait, you know, for the day when I was going to be over 21. Not that being under 21 was a hindrance. You know, I had all these fake IDs and everything. But, you know, I got into a few sort of minor scrapes with the law as far as I grew up in a small town. The cops like to chase us around. It was very, like, Fast Times at Ridgemont High kind of, and having, like, forest parties and all that stuff. And when the time came that I went to college, I sort of was kind of my first big decision that I let alcohol make for me. When I was growing up, I, you know, always had these sort of big dreams for myself, like, I want to go to Harvard, I want to do this, blah, blah. And then when the time came to actually choose a school, I applied to all these schools. I was accepted to some really good colleges. But I thought, you know, I really just want to go to a lot of parties and have a lot of fun. And I grew up in Arizona, and I went to Arizona State University on an academic scholarship, which is an actual thing there. But I went to school, and it was a Fulbright scholarship, and I was in the Honors College, so I thought, like, this is okay because I'm still, you know, doing this. And then on the other hand, it was amazing because I was, you know, 18 years old and living in this apartment, and I could do whatever I wanted, and I felt like I was just, like, let out of a cage. I don't know. It just really quickly turned from, like, binge drinking really heavily on the weekends to just getting blackout drunk, like, five nights a week. Thank you. Oh, no. Okay, so it got really bad really quickly. I was extremely depressed. I started trying to do all these things to change all these outside things to change my drinking. I went to three different colleges. I moved out to New York when I graduated because I figured if I move to New York, then I'll have to work more and I'll be forced to grow up. I had friends that were going to San Diego, and I thought, well, I can't go there because I'll just drink all day. And then I came to New York and I got a job, and, you know, I still was just drinking and drinking. And long story short, I got to the part where I really needed to stop, and I couldn't stop, and it was terrifying. And I knew that I needed help, but I didn't know what that even looked like. And I tried to stop drinking on my own. And I can say that being an alcoholic and not drinking and not being in the program is so incredibly painful and difficult that I wouldn't wish it on anyone. And there was about 8 months where I was just scraping along, dry, trying not to drink, completely miserable, thinking about it all the time, could barely leave my apartment, was so anxious. I just couldn't function. It was horrible. And I finally got to this crossroads where I thought, like, I cannot keep living like this. I either have to start drinking again or kill myself. These are my options. And I knew of AA just from seeing it occasionally in the movies or in a book, but I didn't know anything about it. Finally, I thought that maybe I would try this, you know, third option. And I didn't know anything about the program. I didn't have any expectations, but I thought, I'll just go and I'll sit in the back and I'll go once a month and I'll just know that there are other people who are also trying not to drink, and, like, that will be enough, you know? And I lived over on 52nd and 2nd above the cupcake shop. And I looked for a meeting, and I found this one just from looking online. And this is obviously, as you know, a unique meeting. It's very large. And I went around to the front, and I saw a bunch of sort of happy, bright people. And I thought that it was a church fundraiser. So I went around all the people in the front. I went down to the basement because I was looking for all of the, like, really depressed people, like, you know, some, like, half-lit light flickering around, and everyone's just miserable. And I couldn't find them. And I looked in here, and I saw the steps, and I thought, maybe this is it. I'll just see what's going on here. And I sat in the back, and I was like, all right, I'm just going to see what's happening. And I felt like I really had it together, you know. And I also felt like I was better than all the other people because I had been, you know, not drinking for a few months. So obviously I have that going for me. And someone came up and said hi to me, and I burst into tears, and I was humiliated. And then I met who would be my first sponsor, who's Judy M., who's here tonight, who asked me to speak. And her and her sponsor at the time brought me over right over there. And I was sitting there, and I recall vividly the person who was the first 10-minute speaker. It was this kind of young guy. He's wearing a red sweater. And he shared, you know, very openly about his life and about his feelings and about how he had used alcohol and what had happened. And I was so horrified that he was talking about all of this in public. I was so embarrassed for him. And I was so angry because all of the people in the audience were, like, laughing, I thought, at him, but I guess it's, like, with him, but I felt like they were being really mean. And then also before the meeting, I was looking around and just, like, because there were so many people, I didn't think that they were all alcoholics. And also because they just seemed, like, so happy and were smiling a lot, that I thought that every alcoholic brings, like, five friends, and that's where, like, all the people were coming from. Thank you. And I can't believe this went by so fast, and I really wanted to talk all about the steps and everything, but basically what happened was I asked Judy to be my sponsor, and, you know, I went through the steps with her, and doing the first step with Judy and telling her the real whole story of my life, all of the dirty, dark secrets, the things I wanted to hide. You know, I told this to this person, but I would never show all of myself to one person. And to be able to do that with someone and to have that person really, really understand was incredible. And, you know, the one thing that I never expected I would ever have in my life, and I wasn't expecting from AA, was to realize that there's so many people that do understand me, you know, on a really deep level, because I always felt like I was so alone and so different. And I'm not different at all. I can go to an AA meeting, you know, anywhere in the world, and I've been to meetings all over, and I feel like so at home. And it's amazing, and thank you.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Ryan M.
Hi, I'm Ryan. I'm an alcoholic. I got sober on December 15th, 2014. I'm a member of the Atlantic Group. Robert M. is my sponsor. I'm working on step 9 and practicing 10, 11, and 12. It's an honor and a privilege to be up here tonight. I want to thank this group for asking me to speak. Look at how many people are here right now. It's incredible. This disease affects a lot of people if you just look around. I grew up an hour north of New York City, like northern Westchester. Started drinking when I was about 14, kind of a coming-of-age thing when I got to high school. I just thought that's what you did when you got to high school, you started drinking. I don't know where that came from, but I don't know. That was my thought process. I did fine in school. I had friends. I was athletic. I mean, I had a lot going for me, and I said, like, I can drink on top of this. Like, look at me. Like, I got it all. First time I drank, or one of the first times I drank, I blacked out. I passed out. I slept, walk, and urinated on one of my best friends. He was sleeping on the couch. That happened a lot throughout my drinking career, actually. So, but it is what it is. And then they found me sleeping on a stairwell the next morning, like, diagonally. So, but I didn't think anything of it at all. And I really didn't even think about that time until I got sober, when I took a look back at my drinking history and I was like, yeah, I was out of control. High school, I wasn't speaking to the mic. I went on to college. A lot of that stuff in high school, like, happened, but I didn't think anything of it. Went on to college, kind of the same thing. It was nice being away from home for the first time and no real rules. I pretty much stayed in school and, like, went to class so that I didn't have to go home and not be able to drink like I wanted to. There were other things involved in my story in college, a lot of experimenting with different things, but alcohol was always right there throughout. When I moved into the city after college at age of 22, that's kind of when things went downhill. The city, like, chewed me up and spit me out. I came in here at 24, so 2 years I was done. I think the mental side of things really started taking over when I got into the city. Like, I was depressed. The mood swings, anger. I was losing touch with my family, really. I was just isolating, kind of. I didn't want to really let anyone in to my world. I just wanted to kind of do my own thing and put on this outside shell that I was, like, doing well. I had a job, I had friends, but I didn't really care about any of that stuff. I just cared about kind of just drinking and, like, maintaining that outside image just so no one would really, like, bother me. I wouldn't raise any flags, like, he needs help. But eventually, like, the mental side of things started getting to me, so I went to the doctor, and he asked me, how much you drink? I was like, I probably drink a little more than, like, a normal person, but I don't drink, like, too much, but And he's like, all right, why don't you go see this guy? So he recommended me to a therapist who was an alcohol and drug therapist. And that didn't even register to me. I wasn't like, you're going to see an alcohol and drug therapist. Like, I went there and I was talking to him, and he's like, within 15 minutes, he said, why don't you, you know, take a month off from drinking? And I was like, this guy's an idiot. I'm like, that's your solution? You're supposed to be this great doctor. You're telling me I have to stop drinking. So I left there. I called my parents. I was like, yeah, that didn't really work out. So I kept drinking, basically. I started seeing another guy, and I lied to him for about a year. Longtime girlfriend, we break up. I'm like, okay, here's another excuse for me to go out there and keep getting hammered. A lot of drinking alone at this point. I like going to bars, sitting by myself, and just kind of thinking. Like deep thinking by myself. It wasn't good. Thanks. Eventually, I didn't really like stay connected with too many people at this point. I had a lot of friends, but like I didn't really like stay in touch with them really. And the only people I felt I could really open up to were my brother and his wife, who they're actually here tonight. And I want to thank you guys for coming. They lived a few blocks from me, and it seemed like every other weekend I was up there crying, I'm depressed, what's going on, like I hate life. And I did, I hated life, I hated myself. I was like, I got to do this for another 60 years, this is ridiculous. Like, I thought you're supposed to enjoy life. So basically what happened is after another like 4 or 5 day like just drinking after drinking, day after day, I was sitting at work on the Monday following that, and I was shaking, sweating. I was looking at my monitor. I have like one monitor. I saw like four of them. I was like, I went up to my boss. I was like, I think I got to go home, and I've done this before. So he's like, he looks at me with this look, and I won't forget it, because he was like, dude, what's going on with you? And that was when I was like, I need some serious help right now. So I called up my therapist. I was like, yeah, I've been lying to you for like a good year now. Like, I drink all the time and I can't stop really. Actually my brother also took me to my first AA meeting. He's not even in the program. That's how unbelievable this guy is. He just knows how to help people. He saw that his brother needed help, and he said, all right, let's like do this. He was sick of seeing me suffering. So we went to my first meeting together. Slowly but surely, I think I went to like maybe like a week's worth of meeting, and people keep asking me, like, do you have a sponsor yet? I'm like, no, I don't have a sponsor. I wasn't planning on getting a sponsor. I didn't even look at the steps. I just like showed up because I was like, I need to like find like a safe haven, like, and the rooms were there for that, but I didn't realize there was this whole world of AA and like more to it than just showing up into the meeting. So I met my sponsor. He brought me to this meeting, and when I walked in, I was like, I'm not alone in this thing. Like, look at how many people are here, and look at how many people are affected by this disease. I built a relationship with him. He's helped me tremendously. He said, meet me at this diner. We're going to start the work. I said, okay. I said, if this guy's taking the time out of his life to help me, the least I can do is show up and try to dive into this thing. Do it 100%. I got to thank my higher power, because looking back on my drinking history is obviously the first step. And like I said, I realized I was out of control and I needed help. Building that higher power, the relationship with my higher power, and realizing I'm not in control anymore was the most amazing experience because I was sick of being in control, to be honest. So I was like, if I can hand this off to somebody else, I'm down with that. I pray and meditate a lot. Meditation is probably the greatest free tool that you can use. It's amazing. I mean, I'm so thankful for this group. I'm so thankful for the structure of this group. This is like the best AA in New York City, maybe even in the country. I don't know. I haven't been to too many other cities recently, but yeah, it's amazing. I'm really, I'm blessed right now. So thank you.